This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Depending on your point of view, this is, for most wrestling fans, it's their favorite time of year. It's the countdown to WrestleMania. It's right around the corner. And the first week of April, the weekend of April, is always huge. And this is the Kevin Kelly Show. I am your host, Kevin Kelly, and we are on the Place to Be Nation and our website, homeplacetobenation.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, wherever, you know. And maybe if we're lucky, our pal Justin will tell you how you can find the Kevin Kelly Show later on. This week, we are going to delve into the big event held at Jerry's World in the Big D. Yes, indeed, WrestleMania. Plus, we'll be running down some of the other events that you will see coming up on the big weekend, including Ring of Honor's Super Card of Honor, the two-night extravaganza, which I'm very excited to attend and to announce. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll run down some of the matches that we know are going on. So, you know, we're going to have a cavalcade of stars, a panel of guests later on to join us. And, Justin Rosero will be kind of shepherding them in and out of the room here. JR, how are you? Are you prepared mentally, physically for WrestleMania this year?
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's been such a busy kind of like month. It hasn't really hit me yet that I'm going there in 2 weeks. So, I think over the next week or so, it'll start to ramp up. But unlike when we went to WrestleMania 29, I'm not doing all the festivities this time. I'm solely going to WrestleMania. But like WrestleMania 29, we are doing a Place to Be Nation tailgate party that afternoon in one of the lots near Jerry World. So if you are attending WrestleMania and you want something to do in the afternoon, we're having a tailgate. So you can chip in, eat with us, drink with us, hang out, have a good time. So just shoot me a message on our Facebook or Twitter page and let us know, and we'll get you in.
There you go. So you could be part of the festivities. And Dan McGinn is our behind-the-scenes putter-togetherer of the show. Dan, how are you preparing for WrestleMania this year? Do you feel up to it? Are you stretched? Are you, you know, hydrated?
Yeah, I'm.
That's breaking news with Dan McGinn right there.
Yeah, I got the vitamin water in the fridge. I got all kinds of preparations made. I may even have the new lady friend join me for a little WrestleMania. Maybe some one-on-one action from the apartment here. And no, but it's always a good time. It's regardless of what you think of the card, you know you're gonna watch it. I know I'm gonna watch it. It's gonna be fun. It's always a awesome set. You know, there's something for everybody at WrestleMania, so yeah, can't complain.
More, when we delve into the event later on, we kind of will run down the card. And I was like doing, you know, I was doing some actual prep work, JR, which I know is probably hard for you to imagine. Part of the reason why I felt like I needed to was because other than Shane and The Undertaker and Reigns and Triple H, I am not fully clear on the card, so I really had to look it up. And I was even more underwhelmed when I looked at the card. But nevertheless, it's still an event, right? It's still WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, the one I use for comparison is 29, which I went to, and I have great memories. Like, I had an awesome time. But I know of the recent vintage, that's one of the lesser ones, and it's in maybe towards the bottom half overall. But again, you're there. It's such a great atmosphere. Like, I don't get the people that, and there are some out there that are ridiculous about it, kind of laugh, or why would you pay to go there? Why would you do this? But it's such an event. It's such an experience. It's, you know, it is like the Super Bowl, where even if you get a bad game, you still get the fun and the ambiance of being, you know, in the arena, in the stadium, to be part of the event. To me, if you're going to pay to go to a wrestling event and you're going to pay decent money, I'd rather do that than, like, sit through a Raw or SmackDown. I mean, if you're going to go big. So, yeah, I mean, just even going to AT&T Stadium is going to be awesome. Like, just seeing that place, the size of the place, being in there, you know, yeah, we'll talk about the card, but even a match like Shane and Undertaker is pretty absurd. But still, you know they're going to go all out and make that thing a crazy spectacle of some sort.
Sure.
So there'll be stuff in there. And, you know, a lot of people went into last year's WrestleMania. I think we probably sat here and said a lot of the same stuff. You know, what's the card look like? How are they going to live up to 30 with Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns in the main event? And, you know, that ended up being a pretty good show. Reigns
yeah.
and Brock was a great match. The stuff with Sting was, you know, hit or miss, but still, you know, fun nostalgia. The Ronda Rousey stuff was a neat surprise. So there was a lot of funny and fun stuff mixed in there. So, you know,
now,
I'm down. You know, I'm excited. And, yeah, I mean, I will never say anything negative to anyone who wants to go to WrestleMania. It's such an
yeah.
experience.
This is the first time in many years I will not be at my buddy's house watching the event. Because I'll be getting back on Sunday afternoon too late from Dallas, and he's like 3 hours away from me. But it was always a thing. And it wasn't, hey, what about this match or whatever? What about the show? It was, what time are we coming over, and what are we bringing food-wise? Like, what do we need to do? And, oh, yeah, there's wrestling on, too. It's an event. Dan, will this be the girlfriend's first WrestleMania experience? Is she kind of a fan? Where is she?
I'm pretty sure that she's never watched an entire wrestling show before she met me. We haven't watched a WrestleMania together, so I don't think she knows what to expect. I did not hold a gun to her head, though. I said, you can leave as early or as late as you want to. It's not a mandatory thing. It's not a deal-breaking type of thing. But she's been a good sport so far, so we'll see what happens.
Well, again, I don't think that this will be a test of your relationship, because this is kind of like that Super Bowl, like JR was saying. This is the wrestling event for non-wrestling fans. So she'll probably comment on the entrances and if they have musical guests or what so-and-so is wearing, maybe more so than the actual matches themselves. But provided that, you know, again, she's there with you, it'll be a fun night. King Basil will be there. It'll be a whole thing. And everybody will just be thrilled beyond belief.
There'll be no Rusev in the tank, though, so she won't get to experience that.
Dude, that's okay. That's one of the things that I was thinking of. So WrestleMania last year, I was thinking, like, memories. And I obviously remembered, of course, Sting and Triple H, the whole NWO reunion. And then my second memory was the Rusev entrance, mm-hmm. which was the coolest thing ever. So over under, well, not over under. Well, will they be able to equal or top a Rusev entrance at this year's WrestleMania?
Well, you know, Triple H always has some absurd entrance, so we'll get something crazy from him. I'm curious what they'll do for Reigns, if he's going to do anything different. Undertaker, I'm sure, is always a good one. You know, they were hamstrung a bit last year, if I remember, because they were outside, and they
yep.
did, you know, the lights, of course, the outdoor light didn't dim until, what, you know, almost two-thirds of the way through the show. And remember, they were trying to stall Undertaker's entrance long enough to come out in the dark, and they just
yep.
missed it. So this year, we're at least guaranteed pitch black for his entrance. I don't think I know it was Bray Hurt. I don't know. There's a rumor about that. He's not even on the card unless he's going to be in the Battle Royal. So maybe there'll be something cool with the Wyatt entrance. We'll see there. Trying to think who else. Maybe New Day does something crazy. There were rumors they wanted to come in on flying unicorns or something. So they could get something neat.
Well, that makes sense to me. I would see that. I could definitely see that. Okay, so in this first segment, we'll have our guests later on, and we'll talk about – we'll actually run down the card, and we'll get into the specifics of WrestleMania. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that are going on throughout the weekend. And I'm excited because in addition to NXT and the Hall of Fame and all that stuff, Ring of Honor is going to be in Dallas as well at the Hyatt Regency, completely sold out for two events. And they are Super Card of Honors Night 1 and Night 2. How about that? So aptly named. Let me run down the event for Night 1 because I have it in front of me. And like I said, both are sold out, and the only way you'll be able to see them if you don't have a ticket is through video on demand. At ROHWrestling.com, the event will not be broadcast live, so you will have to see it after the fact, video on demand. But what a night it's going to be. The main event, it's the Young Bucks against the Motor City Machine Guns. So that'll be really special. The Ring of Honor World Championship is on the line. Jay Lethal is defending against Leo Rush, who just won the Top Prospect Tournament. And because Tomohiro Ishii is in Japan with the Ring of Honor World Television Championship, normally Top Prospect Tournament winner faces the television champion, this year, to not make Leo wait any longer, they decided to go ahead and give him a match for the Ring of Honor World Championship against Jay Lethal. So that's going to be very special. ACH against Adam Cole, an eight-man tag team matchup with Jay and Mark Briscoe, teaming with War Machine, the World Tag Team Champions, against the All Night Express of Rhett Titus and Kenny King, Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser, JR's favorite. Roderick Strong goes one-on-one against Moose with Stokely Hathaway, plus Reborn Matt Sydal takes on Kyle O'Reilly. And that's just some of the card of night one. Now, night two, since we're talking about that, let me see where we are with night two. Let me find it. Where is my cards? So anyway, night two is going to be something else as well. Scrolly. Here we go. The main event. I didn't want to, I knew there was a title for the match, but I didn't know what it was. Again, it's at the Hyatt Regency. Again, it's sold out. It's Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, no holds barred. And hopefully these two will settle it. Speaking of settling things, two out of three falls, Bobby Fish versus Roderick Strong. Of course, these two have battled first over the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Now it's gotten very personal. So those two matches right there will settle these two singular grudges for the members of Red Dragon. Four Corner Survival number one contenders match involving four great tag teams. Look at, listen to this lineup. The Addiction, the Briscoes, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Young Bucks. So the number one contender for the World Tag Team titles will be determined in this Four Corner Survival match. There'll be more matches to announce, including Jay Lethal, who'll be on hand, War Machine, Matt Sydal, the All Night Express. All the stars are going to be there, Dalton Castle and more. That is night two for Super Card of Honor in Dallas. Now that, night two, at 2 p.m. So we have Saturday, April 1st at 7:30, and then Friday, April 1st at 7:30, and then Saturday, April 2nd, 2 p.m. And that's the weekend for Ring of Honor. What is the, what's the overwhelming feeling about NXT, JR? I know everybody's talking about Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, of course. Tons of anticipation there for his big debut. And I believe for the first time, too, NXT is actually televised this year. That WrestleMania weekend show. It hasn't been the last, I guess, 2 years they've been around. Did they do one 2 years ago? It was last year, the first one. Either way, this one's televised. It wasn't before. And he'll have his first match against Sami Zayn. And, of course, Zayn will most likely be doing double duty because he should be on WrestleMania card as well. Rumors are that the Intercontinental title match will be announced tonight on Raw, so we'll see from him when he ends up popping up. Yeah, I'd say the anticipation's pretty hot for that show, too. Do you want to, because I want to save NXT for when everyone gets here, Kev. What are your thoughts just quickly on Ring of Honor's, A, predictions for the big matches, and kind of B, you know, do you guys see this, I know it's not your biggest card of the year, but do you parallel WrestleMania at all? Do you see this as a reset point, or is that more like Final Battle? Like, what is your, in your mind, kind of the switch the calendar for Ring of Honor? Because 30 is clearly like the night after Mania starts the new year. How do you feel about Ring of Honor?
This is not that. I don't feel the level of importance with Super Card of Honor as I do, say, a Final Battle in December or Best in the World in June. I think those are the two biggest events by far. Last year's Super Card of Honor event, I felt, while it was strong on paper, it delivered as far as the matches were concerned, that it wasn't the can't miss spectacle that at least this year's event has the look of on paper. And both nights being so different, I think the addition of the Young Bucks and the Motor City Machine Guns to the already deep tag team division just adds another element to these shows. And I think that this year's events, last year we only did one, this year it'll be two, and I think this year's will top lasts. These are more showcase events, I would say, than heavy storyline driven events, but there will be, I'm sure, a lot of news and notes coming out of them And very excited to get there. Looking forward to calling them. Also, too, I there's a lack of buzz from, I think, the fan base about this because they're not going to be broadcast live. They'll be great live events, sold out, international audience, always going to be fun. But there's no internet pay-per-view. There's no traditional cable or satellite pay-per-view. So, you know, I think that's an opportunity lost. I wish there was some sort of live, you know, televised broadcast element to this. It would, to me, it would make it better.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see where the, you know, feeling of the almost like a house show feels like it's, you know, does it take away from the weekend at all? But I think the good thing is if there's ever time to do a show like that, this is probably it because there's so much going on.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's so excited and jacked up. Like, they're not going to care. It's live wrestling. Everyone's pumped about live wrestling. You know, I don't think it'll be an issue like that where it's everyone's feeling a little down because it's not televised.
Yeah, and certainly a few years ago, before the stars of New Japan coming over in the month of May, I think that these cards had a bigger feel, especially when we were in Atlanta, we were in New York, when we did Fort Lauderdale. Those shows were bigger. Now that the very next month, we have, you know,
West Warwick,
Rhode Island. Then somehow we'll look to move on from there. It'll be an emotional letdown, I'm sure, when all the stars of New Japan come in the month of May for Global Wars, War of the Worlds, the pay-per-view event in Chicago, and then the live event in Dearborn Television in Toronto, New York as well. So with that on the calendar 1 month after these shows, I think that probably has a bigger focus for the Ring of Honor fan, but like you said, this is a spectacle like no other.
Okay, cool. All right, so I say, Kev, we take a quick break here. I think we kind of talked about it. I mean, there's a real news going on that broke today. Some stuff we'll touch on later. We have a couple of PTBN staff members, Scott Criscolo, of course, my partner on the Place to Be podcast, good friend of Kevin as well, and our buddy Ben Morse, who moonlights for us at PlaceToBeNation.com, is also a heavy hitter over at Marvel.com. So he'll be joining us along with Dan. We'll do a little roundtable. We'll go through NXT. We'll go through the Hall of Fame. We'll talk Mania. We'll talk Raw. A lot going on that we can cover. And, of course, if you're ever looking for our archives, PlaceToBeNation.com, click the big Kevin Kelly banner on the right-hand side. You can find each and every one of our episodes. Twitter at Place2BNation, at Real Kevin Kelly, Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation as well. So follow us on social media to get all your updates. We have some really cool stuff coming to PlaceToBeNation.com. WrestleMania Week, we have one major project. That's a lot of fun. Lots of podcasts, of course, up each and every week as well, just in general. Not necessarily WrestleMania related. New Between the Sheets dropped today. And that's a really cool podcast. It's where our buddies Chris Zellner and David Bixenspan go through the dirt sheets from years gone by. So I think this year, this week, I believe, is 1995. They may go to 88, 92, 2004, 1997. You know, they jump from year to year every week. And that is a weekly show out every Monday. So I highly recommend checking that out. It's long, so you might as well do it in chunks, but it's super informative. It's one of the most informative podcasts you'll hear out there. A lot of cool tidbits, and those guys are super knowledgeable, and they usually have a guest on with them every week as well. So that's one I highly recommend, in addition to all of our shows, of course. And you can follow us on iTunes. You get all the updates automatically. There are three feeds you should be aware of. One is Place to Be Podcast. One is PWO-PTBN. And the third is the Kevin Kelly Show. So if you follow those three, you'll get each and every podcast that we offer at PlaceToBeNation.com. So be sure to subscribe there. Be sure to leave us some feedback, some ratings across all our social media platforms as well as iTunes. We appreciate that as well.
Give it to give yourself a present and make sure that you're down with all these subscriptions. It's totally worth it. And I got to get on this. I got to get on this 605 podcast. I have to have it. It has to happen. So I'm definitely going to make it happen. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll do the whole roundtable thing. We'll run down every card that there is. WrestleMania weekend. We talked about Ring of Honor already. Scott, Ben, Dan McGinn, JR, myself, we'll run it all down. And we'll preview the big event. All right. We'll do that right after this here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Stay with us. Could never cause pain. Years go by, I'm looking through a girl.
Blood runs cold. My memory has just been sold. My angel is the centerfold. Angel is the centerfold.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been.
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show, and as we told you, we're going to do this whole roundtable thing. Because it is a big event, it is WrestleMania, and there are so many other things that are going on throughout the entire weekend. We've invited a cavalcade of stars on here. One of the stars, yet to arrive, but will be sauntering down the red carpet in just a few moments. That'll be Scott Criscullo. But Ben Morse is a bigwig over at Marvel. And Ben, welcome to the show. It's good to talk to you again.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a while. The last time we spoke, it was a whole big roundtable thing we did as part of the Place to Be Nation show, right?
Yeah, we only talk to each other on roundtables. We have to be seated, you know, directly across with plenty of people in between us. That's how we work.
In WrestleMania season only.
WrestleMania season only. It's an annual thing or a biannual thing. We try not to do it too much too soon. Anyway, Justin Rosero's here and Dan McGinn. So let's start.
Oh, hang on. Our other guest of honor's here.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
There he is, coming down the red carpet. There he is himself. Look at that, coming down the aisle. He is, Justin, why don't you properly introduce him? Because I don't want to leave anything out.
There's not much to leave out, but he's a good friend of all of ours. He's,
yes,
the Papa Smurf for PlaceMation.com. Him and I celebrate our 400th episode in a couple of weeks, right after we just celebrated our fifth anniversary, our fifth birthday of the Place to Be podcast. He's the main consigliere, my right hand to my left hand, whatever that saying is. He is the man, the myth, the legendary Scott Criscullo.
Hey, what's
good
up?
Evening. Good evening, K2. It's been a while, my friend.
I'm glad you're here. You were having some computer issues, and now all is well.
Yes.
And here you are. It's great.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
When I first had the idea to do this, and it was my idea to have this roundtable, yours was the first name that I threw out there. So I just want you to know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't remember you even mentioning him. I'm pretty sure I proactively asked for him.
I think, again, it's revisionist history. Mm-hmm. But it again, at this point, it's water under the bridge.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Fair enough.
So we've got Ben Morse, we've got Scott Criscullo, we've got Justin Rosero, we've got Dan McGinn, and yours truly. So, I don't know. Let's start let's start big picture first, WrestleMania, and I'll throw this. Scott, we'll go to you first.
Mm-hmm.
Gut reaction. Does this WrestleMania grab you as a consumer? Is this a must watch if you were not already a hardened wrestling fan?
Probably not. Maybe the casual fan that was a diehard in the Attitude Era may see Shane McMahon's name and go, oh, I haven't seen Shane apparently in a while or whatever, and that might be interesting. And you know, still the ones who remember who know Undertaker and that kind of thing. And but in terms of everything else, probably not. At the moment, I don't think there's quite enough sizzle for the mainstream fan, the casual wrestling fan, but a mainstream fan to see a lot of names. And unfortunately, right now, the one mainstream name that once you see his name, it'll attract the casual fan is John Cena. And without John Cena's name right now, they're in a bit of a pickle in that aspect. So if I was a casual fan right now, it's not enticing me at the moment. So
Ben, if this is yours and if you are the casual fan, what would motivate you? What names would you be looking for? Hollywood celebrity involvement? Would you be looking for musical act? Would you be looking for wrestling names blast from the past type of thing? Or would a return like, say, John Cena be enough to entice you?
Here's the thing, Kevin. I think they already have the only name they need for the casual fan, and that name is WrestleMania. I think the brand itself is strong enough that casual fans, this is the one time a year they watch wrestling. And I think we sit here as hardcore fans, pundits, and analyze who's on the card, who's not on the card, who's where on the card. But for those casual fans, like my buddy who I watch with once a year, he doesn't know who Roman Reigns is. He doesn't care who Roman Reigns is. He's just that big scary guy on TV. That's all that matters to them. And I think it's a more interesting question to see how excited a hardcore fan is for this card, because I don't think a casual fan is able to distinguish between, whether or not Seth Rollins is in a match to whether Dean Ambrose is in a match. They don't care. They're just interchangeable names. But WrestleMania is a big thing that everyone knows. Everyone knows what WrestleMania is, and everyone gets excited for it once a year.
What say you, Justin?
Well, to play devil's advocate to Scott, because this is what I do. Scott, who was the... Because last year's Mania did pretty well numbers-wise. I mean, it's hard to tell the network, but gate and draw and overall. Who was the big name, big name guy that would have drawn in casual fans last year? Because Ronda Rousey wasn't announced. And Rock is here this year. He was there last year. I can't think of it. I mean, Sting, I guess. I don't know.
I think Sting. Because people kind of remember.
He's in the Hall of Fame this year, though, so he'll be there.
Yeah. Sting definitely, I think, was a name that hooked people last year. I think so. And Brock Lesnar in the main event, even though he was there the year before.
And
Cena.
Dan, what about you? Because this we were talking before, Scott, Ben, Dan's new girlfriend going to be introduced to her first WrestleMania experience. I mean, what is she? What have you guys talked about it? What do you think she's going to be looking for?
I have no idea what she's going to be looking for. Or maybe looking for the exit to get out of town as
That's
fast
it.
As she can. No, when I look at this card, yeah, it's probably not the WrestleMania that I was maybe asking for a year ago. But when I take a look at it, I've had conversations about this with others in our little group, because sometimes we like to talk, and that is that you don't have a lot of part-time or substitution, guys clogging up the top of the card that are necessarily not there all the time. Yes, you have Triple H and you have Brock Lesnar, but you seem to have a great deal of guys that you've developed over the years now in big spots. And when you have Reigns, Ambrose, you have the New Day, you have Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte all in a title match. I mean, yeah, you have Taker and McMahon that goes against the point I was making, but at least they're kind of doing what we kind of always talk about is people that they want to develop and push to the moon on the big stage. They're at least trying to. And a lot of that might have to do with the fact that they have lost a lot of big names over the course of the year, but they're going with what they got, and we'll see how it turns out.
One of the biggest moments, of course, from last year's WrestleMania, we were talking earlier on about moments, the Rusev entrance, the Sting debut, and also the finish of Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. RKO coming out of the curb stomp. And neither guy, I was thinking about that. neither guy part of the event this year because of injuries. Injuries seem to be the biggest factor affecting this year's WrestleMania card more than any other. How much will these injuries hurt? Certainly they can't help, right?
Right. No, I don't think it helps at all. From both the work rate perspective and from a name value perspective, Cena, like Scott mentioned, the big one, Randy Orton, name wise and in ring, a big one. Seth Rollins, I mean, yeah, they could have thrown him in there with a bunch of different guys, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, like think of the names they could have put him in there with that could have had a great match, and he's unavailable. So, you know, that leaves us with stuff like Shane McMahon inside Hell in a Cell. And, you know, I like having Shane back. I think he's a fun on-screen character. I think it's fun that there's maybe some shakeup going on behind the scenes, if you believe the rumors. I still believe we're going to get a lot of overbooking in that match, and I part of me still thinks John Cena is going to show up one way or the other. There's smoke around whether he'll be ready or not, but to me that smoke leads to him being there. Can you picture WrestleMania happening and John Cena not even being in the building doing something? So, you know, why not have him come out, help Shane win, because he is the authority just as much as anyone, and sets up a long-term program with Taker for next year's Mania. Like, that's entirely possible, right? Because, I mean, you can't have Shane McMahon win clean. And Undertaker winning, to me, is like, all right, well, why bother with all the Shane stuff then, if we're not going to follow through with him running Raw for a bit? So it just, I don't know. But to me, that's like the biggest X-Factor match, because we know Roman Reigns is winning. I mean, Triple H isn't winning. I don't care what anyone says. We know probably Brock Lesnar's winning. Those are the two big matches. So, you know, to me, of the three big matches, the biggest kind of what-if factor comes out of this cell.
And you have you've got matches, of course, with, you know, a lot of favorites going in, shall we say, of course, you know, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, as you mentioned. Shane being the one name kind of in this, where this is the one celebrity, quote unquote, the one non-wrestler that is really taking a top spot. And fewer part-timers, as somebody mentioned, more so than in years past. Is it a problem for you guys that Shane McMahon is one of the, and probably at this point, the best promoted match other than the world title match? I mean, out of everything else on the show, it's what, 11 days away, and I can name two matches on the card, and one of them Shane McMahon.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled. I think I said on the main event when it was first announced as Shane Undertaker, just because I can't see how they can have a compelling, lengthy match. And I haven't flipped my opinion there. I still would rather see someone else in there with Undertaker. But at the same time, the mystery of how do they make this work has become less frustrating to me and more intriguing now, because I know they're going to have to do something. The question is, do you end up with a Shane versus Vince situation from back at 17, where they seemingly made gold out of straw? Or do you end up with a Bret Hart and Vince McMahon situation where they made one of the worst matches in the history of the show out of one of the most anticipated ones? So I'm curious to see where they go with it. But my initial reaction, Kevin, was I was not happy to see Shane McMahon in that spot or to see him so heavily promoted. And it's hard to let go of that.
And I know, Scott, you, of course, big fan of the Mean Street Posse way back in the day. You eagerly anticipated our interview with Pete Gass here on the show, and you were always a big fan of Shane. You regularly threw yourself off of high places because you were such a fan of his. What do you think about all this Shane love? Is it revisionist history? Because I remember a few years ago, everybody taking a big, hot, steaming crap all over every time Shane McMahon was in a big match.
Well, I think a lot of it was overexposure for Shane. And obviously 9 years is, you know, a long time. Well, let's see. No, it was 7 years because, right, No Way Out 09, I think, was the last time we saw him. So, yeah. You know, close to 7 years is a big enough window to miss him. But I agree, and I've been thinking about this. And, Ben, like you said, our last main event, we were talking about it. And I've been thinking a lot about this. And, Kev, when you talked about, you know, what match are most people looking forward to and why, it's obviously no secret that the brain trust pays attention to, you know, trends, both the internet and Smarkies and whatever. So they all seem to think that the audience thinks Raw sucks. So in their kind of strange booking mind, they may think, hey, maybe if this match will hook them, because they're going to think if Shane wins, Raw will get better. Whether that's the case or not, who knows? But I think their thinking is, if everybody thinks the show is so atrocious, then maybe we'll put the show up in a match and fans will be enticed because they want to see if Shane will win and make the show better. And the other thing about having Shane involved is that, you know, some of the diehards may think maybe there's some kind of swerve that they're thinking about where perhaps Shane does beat Undertaker. And then in the main event, Shane helps Roman Reigns win with Stephanie's help. And suddenly they try to do this whole pull the wool over the fans' eyes. And the actual family is back together and they kick Triple H out for not being a real McMahon. So in either instance, whether you're casual or you're a diehard, there's something to hook you in. Now, as Ben said, you're not talking about two legit guys. It's not going to be, you know, Taker and Shawn from 25 or whatever. But it might be just enough with all of the ancillary aspects of it to bring viewers in, whether you're casual or a diehard.
I think the big difference now, too, between now and 09, when people were getting burnt out on Shane, is everyone's burnt out on Triple H and Stephanie now, where they weren't. I mean, they just weren't at that point. Triple H was the face, and he was, you know, pretty over at that point. And Steph was actually doing some pretty good work. Remember, Orton was, like, torturing them and everything. And that build-up to Mania 25 with that match was actually pretty good. A lot of people were looking forward to that. And then they laid the clunker where they had no brawling or hate behind it. It was just, like, a regular match after they had this blood feud. The other thing with Shane, at the time, which kind of got re-exposed now, was remember him going, like, toe-to-toe with Orton, punch for punch? I remember that annoying a lot of people, that Orton's supposed to be positioned as, like, you know, a championship-level contender, and Shane McMahon's just out there going punch for punch with him. And a lot of people that I saw online kind of felt the same way with Undertaker, in, you know, a few weeks ago when he was doing the punches that just looked awful, his punching. And it's kind of like, how can this guy, who's only been beaten once at WrestleMania, and that was by Brock Lesnar, believably hang with The Undertaker? Now, you can say, well, Taker's aged, you know, so whatever, you can kind of explain it that way, but I think that leads us back to just, it's going to be overbooked like crazy. I mean, the authorities are obviously going to be out there. Vince is going to be out there. You know, there's going to be some cards to play for Shane. I mean, maybe Kane gets involved somehow for revenge. I don't know. I don't know what all those cards are, but there's going to be more to it.
It'll be a classic Pat Patterson cast of thousands, no doubt about it. I'm very excited as we record this because I'm watching Raw, and Terry Funk is on. So I'm excited about that. But anyway, I'm looking at Dan. I'm looking at you for the answer here. I want you to tell me the truth. Stop lying to me like you do. Shane McMahon, love him, hate him.
I'm glad to see him back. I was kind of one of those fans that was like, oh, cool, this is new. I'm happy to see him again. I love that theme song. I wasn't necessarily, I don't think I ever in my wildest dreams thought, you know who I really want to see fight The Undertaker? That guy.
But we all did say, as soon as Shane was announced, we all immediately said, we've got to get Pete Gass on the show because we all missed the Mean Street Posse. Remember the Mean Street Posse? How cool they were? I mean, that was it. Like, as soon as we saw Shane come out, that was like the first reaction that we had. So it is a little bit of revisionist history. And the point about the show being on the line, are fans, and Scott, I hadn't heard that point of view brought up before. Are fans that naive that they actually think, can they be swerved and sold a bill of goods again, that something will actually change on Raw based upon the outcome of a match at WrestleMania?
I think just having Shane on, though, would be a even if the content doesn't change, like having him run the show, a lot of it is just fatigue from Triple H and Stephanie. Like, if they went away for 6 months off TV, whether Raw was identical to what it is now, I think would feel completely different. So I think that's all the change they would need, Scott. Is that kind of, would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I would. I think they feel that if something is in the works, which is why he's back, maybe changes in the air, and you know, that might be something to bring the casual fans in, who even the last 2 years probably thought, wow, this show really sucks.
It's something that I hadn't even thought of, Scott, until you said it. And that's kind of the stipulation, right? That Raw is really on the line here, and that they've kind of been, you know, quasi shooting about this. I don't have any hope that things are going to change. And the Triple H fatigue, I find it funny because if not for the fact that he's the one that's giving us all NXT, we would really be hating on Triple H. I mean, think about it. A part-time owner who's the son-in-law, and of course he's a world champion. Oh, look who just won the pony, you know? But instead, he's the guy who gives us NXT, so a lot of those same fans go, eh, he's not that bad. Very you know, it's a strange dynamic, but one that I think does play a role in this, and certainly the hatred towards Roman Reigns is part of that as well. Ben, where do you stand on the whole Reigns thing? Are you down with him? Are you think he's being overpushed? Is he slotted correctly? What do you think?
I've said from the beginning on the Roman Reigns thing, I think he's a big star waiting to happen, but he's one heel turn away. I think he just needs a nice run where the crowd gets it out of their system and they get to turn him babyface organically. Same as The Rock. Same as how that worked. Same as how it's gone countless other times. He's got the look. He's a good wrestler. He can go in the ring. He's explosive. He's got everything he needs to be the number one star. The problem is right now we, the fans, are being told he's the number one star. We want to make him the number one star. That's how fans operate today. You saw it with Daniel Bryan. You saw it with CM Punk. You see it with any number of guys. You see it with Dean Ambrose now. The crowds want to be part of making the next big star, and they feel like they were cut off here. If you turn him heel, let him get it all out of his system. Let him be the bad guy. Let him be the one we want to hate for a little while. I guarantee you within a year, people will be begging for him to be a babyface. And I know I would be.
So
do you guys think, Kevin, not to interrupt, but Ben, I just wanted to piggyback off your point and ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think they should have done this last year? And do you think they regret not doing it last year and getting out of their systems then? Because I feel like as bad as the hate is now, if he would have withstood that beating from Brock and ended up winning the match, it probably earns a bit of respect, and you could write it off as, well, he got caught up in the Bryan shitstorm, and then Bryan ends up being done a week after Mania anyway, so you kind of feel like, well, all right, we can't get too mad at them for not trusting Bryan this year because of what happened. I really wonder the level of regret in their mind right now for not just pulling the trigger last year and holding off on Seth cashing in.
Now, when you say pull the trigger, you just mean give him the belt, right?
Get his big Mania win out of the way so they can be done with it.
See, I maintain but this is the thing, Justin. I'm maintaining if they had given him the win as a babyface last year, it would have been the same problem. I think he would have burnt out his goodwill within the year, and he still would have had to turn heel. So
right, but at least you get the win out of the way, because it seems what's holding them back now
is that they want to give him the big win.
Right. So if he gets the win last year, Rollins cashes in on him, and then you have him turn heel from that because he's pissed off or whatever. You know, then then that feels a bit more organic, and maybe you're talking a big Ambrose Reigns, you know, final blow off here at Mania, you know, something like that instead. Well, I mean, it would have been a natural story. So, I don't know. That's maybe where I'm wondering if they wish they kind of just did it last year.
I'm sorry, Ambrose is not a main event guy at WrestleMania. He's not a main event guy anywhere, in my estimation. When he stood across from Triple H at the Royal Rumble for the final moments of that, and I just saw how scrawny he looked compared to Hunter, in the casual fan's eyes, a.k.a. in Vince's eyes, there is no way that Dean Ambrose is main event WrestleMania material. Absolutely not. I just don't see it. I might be in the minority here, but I'm just telling you. It just that really was striking. It's like, dude, get your ass in the gym. What are you doing? I know you're the crazy dude, but damn it.
I think you're right, Kevin, because if we were going to see Dean Ambrose in the WrestleMania main event, we would have seen him in this WrestleMania main event. They had the machine all set to do it. They had the mechanism. They could have put him in the main event, but they didn't. So I would tend to agree with you there. I don't think that certain people there share the fans' overwhelming love of Dean Ambrose.
He was the guy who eliminated AJ Styles and, of course, was supposed to be the guy to eliminate AJ Styles, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But it wound up being Kevin Owens after he politicked his way into that spot. So everything, you're right, everything was set up for him to be that top guy. If he would have eliminated AJ and then be the guy to beat Triple H, win that title there, et cetera, the whole deal, it would have been, everything would have been set for him.
How would you feel about this card, everyone, just quick? How would you feel about this card if they had done Reigns and never losing the title? Because, I mean, he had some momentum after he won it, you know, in Philly the night after TLC. He got the big pop at TLC, wins it the next night, and have Brock win the Rumble and just have Reigns and Brock be your main event, Brock challenging, and then Dean Triple H, which has been a pretty natural feud as well If you want Triple H to wrestle, do you feel better about that card, knowing that you could be putting the title on Brock if the Reigns experiment failed, or you give Reigns the win he didn't get last year?
No question. I think it's a better outcome. Yeah, it's a better probability there if you have that card there.
And you've got, I just don't sense Brock in a big money match this year. What is he supposed to be doing on the card? Is he still in the feud with the Wyatts or what?
He's fighting Ambrose and no holds barred.
Oh, he is fighting Ambrose, no holds barred. Yeah, I don't care about that at all. That's how
what
bad
about
it is.
Dean Ambrose bothers you, Kev, just because he's tiny?
He is just everything about him. I liked it in the Shield. I liked him in the Shield. I thought he did great in the Shield as sort of that Pillman-esque kind of wild card member of the three. But I just feel like, and Michael Cole's voice, like a nail in my head every time I hear him talk about the lunatic fringe, and just everything's so forced with Ambrose with me that when I see him in a money spot and he looks like shit, it just drives me up a wall. It's like, what else does this guy have to do? Just go work out, man. You see what top guys look like, even crazy top guys. Go be a top guy. This is what's expected of you in this company. You can't look like shit and expect to be a top guy. I don't know whether it's ignorance or arrogance, but either way, he just doesn't look the part.
Well, I don't know what you mean by, what do you mean by look like shit? I mean, he doesn't, I mean, he's not fat.
No, I mean, not at not, all. Not at all.
He looks just like any of those other guys, AJ or.
No, he doesn't. He does not. He looks better than Kevin Owens, who looks like tremendous shit. But I mean, if he looked like Austin, Rock, Cena, Taker, Shawn Michaels, how many other top guy, Brett, how many top guys do I need to go through? Okay.
Yeah, but towards the end of Shawn's career, I think Ray weighed more than Shawn did. I think Shawn weighed like 208 by the time he was wrestling.
In fairness, he was already well established, though.
Absolutely well established. Absolutely. Listen, Edge was never going to, as I'm looking at Edge, you know, here, as they're doing a Shane retrospective talking about the big match, Edge is one that, you know, that was always sort of a, not a hang up with me, but I was always like, that's going to be something that could limit him. Because look at the era in which he was a top guy. And it was certainly before all the wellness policy stuff. And not to get really deep in the weeds with this, but I'm telling you, he's not a gimmick. He's not Mick Foley. All right. He's not Kevin Owens. He can't look like that guy. He's got to look like a star. Even if he's a crazy guy, he's got to look like the other top guys, because the 74-year-old man, or however old Vince is, that still pulls the trigger on everything, looks through it and sees Ambrose as I just described. He doesn't see him as a top guy, and that's why he won't do anything of substance with him. He'll let him be crazy big bump guy, but he's never going to be the guy. And that's, I will, until I'm proven wrong, that will be my opinion.
I feel like, well, right now that Vince is very tunnel visioned on nobody as a top guy right now. I think that's where that comment he made on Austin's podcast last year. I don't think he thinks anybody is. I mean, if he went by his philosophy over the last like 30 years, Ryback is a main eventer. And that's just hilarious.
But why does Ryback get 17 opportunities? Why is Big Show still have a job? Why does Kane still have a job? Why does Mark Henry still have a job?
Because they're loyal guys.
They're monsters. They're larger than life, right?
And they're loyal. But they're loyal, too.
Oh, loyal, schmoyled. They look like stars. Where are they going to go? There's
it's
no
true, Scott. They got nowhere else to go. Anymore.
Where else are they going to go?
Yeah, but they also
Kevin
can just
loyal,
they can retire and
shit, and they fired him. Go ahead.
Who?
You.
I don't know, though, today, Kev. Kev, on the network today, they had I think it was Countdown. And they were doing the greatest, like factions or groups or whatever, or strange combinations. And there was an awesome, interview that you were doing with the Oddities when you were in your, midlife crisis goatee phase. I don't know if that was like late 98. I don't know what that was. It was the Oddities, so it had to have been before 99, but,
yeah.
In any event, I guess my point is,
he's saying you look like you gave up at that point. So he's surprised that you lasted until 2003. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Listen, just like everybody in the late 80s had a mullet, Everybody in the late 90s had some sort of, you know, facial edgy hair. Facial hair. Come on.
Giant Silva could use some facial hair, that's for sure. I guess my point is, right now, NXT, which Vince ignores, Lord knows why, is full of small guys. The guys who would have been Vince looking, and Ben's going to laugh when I say this, but guys like Bull Dempsey are gone. Everybody at Nakamura.
No. I take it back because Bull Dempsey was a fat guy.
Yeah, but he was a big guy, though.
They made him a fat guy. At first, he was the guy with the chain around his neck. He was Bruiser Brody. Then they started to mock him and made him be the guy who couldn't stop eating. And that was just and I even told him. I said, "Dude, you realize that this is them tooling you." Mm. And he said, "Yeah, I know." So, but once you're established, once you're over, but again, you're not Mick Foley. You're not Kevin Owens. There's only so many spots for a guy like that. Right. You have to look like $10 zillion. I'm sorry. You have to.
So right now, Vince obviously doesn't feel confident about the top of his card. If Roman Reigns is all he's thinking about right now, Brock's not a main eventer in the everyday sense. Is he main eventer? Of course he is. But not in the I need to keep the product moving forward sense because he's not wrestling every month or every week. He's a different kind of guy. He's an attraction. Other than that, who else at the top of the card fits what Vince would think is a main eventer besides Roman Reigns?
Everybody that's not hurt, no one.
Right. John Cena started so young in his career. Same thing with Orton. Yeah, they're both 35, kind of like Kobe. You know, Kobe's body is old, but he's not old. And it's the same thing with Cena and Orton. I mean, they've gone through so many ridiculous injuries. They're only in their, 36, 37, which seems relatively young for a guy like Taker who's over 50 and still wrestling. These guys, there's all short windows. So they obviously trusted Seth Rollins for a long period of time. And I know Seth's in shape, as you would say, Kev, compared to Ambrose. But he's not 200. He doesn't look like the Warlord, you know?
Right.
So,
he does have that. He has height. Yes. But again, I think in a year where injuries have played such a big role in how this card is shaped, to then have somebody like Dean Ambrose stare at millions of dollars in the face and realize and perhaps make a decision in his own mind that he was not going to make the changes in his body that he needed to make, and leave that money on the table, then that's the decision that he will live with because he is simply there to be a bump dummy for Brock Lesnar. And that's what his job is. He's going to go in there, take all the big crazy bumps, make a comeback, do something drastic or dramatic, and eventually Brock is going to win. And that will be it. And then they will move on. And they'll rebuild. They'll do something with Ambrose starting next month. It won't be the end of him. He'll keep coming back. That's his thing. It's the Energizer Bunny. I get it. But you know what? You had the chance to do something. And you decided not to do it. So there you go.
All right. So let me ask this. Putting the three big matches aside, because I think we've exhausted those. Ben, what match of the rest of them? And I'll run through the card. You tell me what you're most looking forward to. So we got Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha for the Divas title, triple threat. Kalisto versus Ryback for the U.S. title. New Day versus League of Nations. Not sure if the tag title is going to be in the line in that one, but it looks like it's going to be a six-man. Usos versus the Dudley Boys. I'm guessing that'll end up being on the pre-show. We have the third annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. New match announced today, Brie, Natty, Paige, and Alicia versus Lana, Naomi, Tamina, and Summer Rae. And most likely AJ Styles, Chris Jericho. And most likely, and they may have already announced it, I'm not sure, but a kind of a cluster for the IC title. Look like it'll be Owen, Zayn, Dolph, Miz, and maybe someone else mixed in there. So if that's your card going into the show, Ben, what match are you most looking forward to after the top three?
It's a jump ball for me between wanting to see what AJ Styles can do on a WrestleMania stage and to see if the Divas can carry over the feud that they had in NXT. Because if Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte can do a fraction of what they did when they were having these multi-girl matches in NXT, it's going to steal the show. It's going to be, you know, I'm not even being ridiculous and exaggerating. It's going to be the Savage Steamboat of the show. You're going to have all these matches on top that are okay, but if they can do a fraction of what they were able to do down in NXT, it's going to be all anyone's talking about the next day.
I agree, Ben. I agree with you. I think the girls, that Triple Threat has a chance to really steal the show.
How about you, Scott?
Oh, the Triple Threat women is going to be good. I think the IC will be good, depending on who will take risks. I actually think Owens will lose the title that night. I have a feeling Sammy's going to win the belt that night in that match, because I think they're going to prep Owens to win Money in the Bank. But I think the Triple Threat. Yeah. What?
To eat Money in the
so
Bank.
You could eat the Money in the Bank.
But I think the women's will be very good. And honestly, and Kevin will chuckle, but that's fine. Triple H and Reigns could be a pretty good match if it exceeds expectations. I don't know what anybody's expectations of it is, whether it's higher or lower than him and Brock last year. But that could be a better match than people think, because they're so down on Reigns, and it may end up being a pretty good match. I don't think anybody had any expectations for him and Brock last year, and that match ended up being pretty good. So that might be pretty good as well. Shane and Taker will be, as we've said, is going to paint its own portrait in its own weird attitude-y way. Because anytime all the McMahons are in, that's the one template. You go back to something between 98 and 2002, and that's what you'll get. So that's what I think. But the women's match definitely has the makings of something special.
Hey, McGinn, is your girlfriend going to get turned on watching these chicks fight, or what?
Oh, God. One can only hope. No, if you're asking me the same question as the others, I'm curious to see what happens.
Of course I am.
Please don't answer the other one.
I'm curious to see
what... You're going to have porn on the laptop next to the TV to really get her in the mood.
Now I see why I'm on the show tonight. No, I'm curious to see what happens with the New Day, to be honest with you. I don't think the match is going to be that great, but seeing the New Day transition into this new face role, I'm not sure if it's going to resonate like it did before, but we'll see what happens. Are the League of Nations really that dastardly of heels to really push the New Day face turn? Who knows? Is a fourth guy going to get involved? We'll be like light banter, entertainment, you know, kind of soft, you know, bring the crowd down a little bit after something emotional. But they have been one of the hottest acts on the show, on the company for a long time now. I've been tooting this horn since I was doing Raw and pay-per-view reviews and such. But
whatever happened to that, Dan?
The Excellent Adventure. But anyway, that's one thing that I'm looking at. But I'm also kind of curious, like Ben, about the women, because if this were on NXT...
We know, Dan. We know you're curious about the women.
If this was on NXT and in the smaller venue, this would be trumpeted as one of the greatest matches we've ever seen. Will that translate on the bigger stage on a WWE program? Because everybody kind of says, well, NXT, everything's wonderful. You get up to the main roster, it's not so good. I want to see if maybe Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha buck that trend.
Yeah. Buck that trend, he says.
Buck it hard.
And then, of course, you look at card positioning. I'm thankful that they have the other girls match, because that'll be in the traditional diva spot. So I think they'll give Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte a little bit of time and have them get out there and tell a story. I just, again, you know, Flair's going to be involved, and it's like, ugh, all right, I got it. But I'd like to just see what they could do. But I don't disagree that Reigns and Triple H is going to stink. Now, of course, Scott would be one to put that match over. You know, what with his never ending infatuation for Trips, but and that of course is not something that we normally have here on this show, but on the Place to Be podcast, that's been talked about quite frequently. And all of the Raw reviews, we had that living on forever, right? Right, JR?
Oh yeah.
It's always been a thing, but I like that match. I don't dislike that match at all. I just wish Reigns, to the point earlier that Ben was making, I wish Reigns was in a better spot so that match would not have the perception going in that it does. Because I think it will be a very, very good match. I think it will be absolutely just fine. Triple H shown that he can still go at a top level. And we know Reigns can, because he consistently does. He just is plagued by those unique audience reactions. So It looks as if they're really ramping up things with New Day and League of Nations, and they also did the thing earlier, like you said, with Kevin Owens and Miz. Who else?
Zane.
Sami Zayn and Dolph Ziggler, yeah, and whoever else they might throw in, but I don't know.
What do you think? What do you guys think about the Battle Royal, Dan? Who do you peg as the potential winner? You know, is there a chance maybe Cena pops up in that thing and wins it? Or is it, do they go with a young guy this time around? Does Bray maybe win?
Strowman.
Strowman. Yeah. I mean, that's a good option too. I think Show probably gets down to the last few again and defend his title. Does Cesaro make a surprise return trying to win his second one? Because they're saying he'll be ready right after Mania.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on if they're going to use it to kind of push somebody into the summer. I mean, Wyatt certainly makes sense. They say that Bray might be injured, possibly with a back injury. That's why he's really not been put anywhere on the card. It would be great. I've always been one to say that maybe this would be an awesome opportunity for an NXT guy to make an impact. Last year they had a Tommy out there, and he stayed in there for a while. He had a respectable showing, but didn't win it. With all these injuries, they certainly need to fill out that ring a little bit. Right now, it sounds like just the Social Outcasts are signed for the match, so you wouldn't expect any of those guys to be there at the end. But it's so weird. It's such a funny process, because last year at this time, it was Damian Mizdow possibly being a dark horse winner, and it never really went anywhere from there. So I would expect maybe a big guy like a Strowman or Show again, if this is Show's swan song. I like the idea of what you just said about Cesaro, because he's planning to come back, but it really is a crapshoot at this point.
And speaking of crapshoots, what about the entrances? I don't know where I went with that. It's a terrible segue.
Speaking of crapshoots, what about Scott's thoughts on Triple H? No, go ahead.
Well, odd. Hey, so we were talking earlier on about last year, one of the big moments that, again, as I watched this, I watched last year's Mania with my group of casual friends, you know, house party type of setting, the annual tradition.
Kid and play.
We were close last year. We almost were dancing New Day style. We could have had that going on. Was the entrance from, what's the fella's name?
Rusev.
I went blank on his name. Rusev's entrance last year was completely amazing. Do you think they will try to do stuff in that same vein this year? Will they go in a different direction? Will the entrances be as much a part of the show as they were last year?
Well, I think once you establish a bar, you got to keep trying to raise it, right? So if they came out with a tank last year, they got to produce somehow real life unicorns this year.
Right.
It's the only way to go up.
I mean, New Day, like Ben just inferred, I think New Day is the most likely to have some kind of, besides Triple H, who you know is going to have something absurd, but sure. I think New Day is the most likely to have something over the top for an entrance. I mean, just look, and Undertaker. Taker and Triple H, you just kind of know already. Are just gonna
right. Those are the accepted ones. You're saying who's going to be this year's Rusev.
Right.
I think it's got to be the New Day.
Scott, what do you think? What will you be wearing during Triple H's entrance?
Nothing but a smile.
Damn again, sweater vest.
Dress like Pete Gass? No.
That's what I'm doing.
I did buy the shirt that came out the day after the Rumble, so I'll probably wear that. But I'm curious as to what his, like last year they were pimping that horrendous Terminator movie, so he had the weird Terminator outfit. I don't know what correlation he'll have. He's already done Conan, and he's done, you know, he threw the thing through the mirror, and I don't know what the...
Could he be RoboCop? He hasn't done RoboCop
Dude,
yet.
That would be so awesome, and then Sting saves him.
Yeah.
And hopefully he doesn't get paralyzed. But
right. Poor Sting. What a year of injuries. This has been, as we're going through and talking about all the moments of last year and other years, from Seth Rollins, Cesaro, Randy Orton, John Cena, Jesus. I mean, there is millions and millions of dollars of talent on the sidelines this year. What a tragedy.
Yeah.
It just sucks. It's like if you had two teams that made the Super Bowl and the starting quarterback, wide receiver, and running back for both teams were out, and you had 53-man rosters on each side, they'd play a game, but it'd be like, the stars aren't going to be there. That's one thing I really think is hurting this year's Mania, at least for me.
Well, it's funny because I think on at first it almost felt like, oh, good. They'll give some of the young guys a chance, you know, if a scene is out or whoever. And then all of a sudden the other injuries start piling up and you realize the talent we're missing. You know, I think if it was just Cena and Orton and nobody else, maybe you'd say, all right, well, that opens up two spots for some young guys. But now, you know, it sounds like Bray may have a messed up back. And then Rollins, like you said, Sting probably would have done something here, even though he's going to the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I mean, as they started to pile up more and more, Cesaro, yeah, it definitely started to ding the depth of the card versus just saying, okay, a couple of older guys are out. That opens up slots for someone new.
Ben, what do you think about Ronda Rousey? Last year played a surprise role on the show. Two questions. Does the loss that she suffered mitigate some of her marketability? And would we look for some kind of guest appearance by her again this year?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out, because we know Rock is going to be there, and that's something we're not talking a lot about. I thought by now they would have announced Rock as being in Roman's corner or something like that, but because they're not, that means he will probably get some sort of independent segment on the show, and it would certainly make sense for her to be there. As far as her drawing power, well, I mean, this is the company that went with Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson back in the 90s, so
whoops.
Who knows what they're going to do, but I don't think her drawing power is down. I think they learned from that mistake that one loss does not kill a money-making goose, and Ronda Rousey's still certainly got plenty of gold to make. So I wouldn't be shocked to see her there with Rock in some capacity.
I feel like they would have announced her this year, though. Like, they did the surprise thing. She's got so much going on. I don't know. She may be in the crowd, I guess, but I don't know. I don't think she's not going to be active like they thought originally, because especially since she's on medical suspension or whatever from UFC, she's definitely not going to get in the ring and wrestle.
I mean, it would make a lot of sense for Rock and Ronda to be the counterbalance to the Authority, because you have a woman in the Authority in the main event and help Roman get over. But maybe that makes a little too much sense.
Well, I mean, it's too bad the timing for them, because Rock and Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie could have been.
Oh, that was huge. The money match coming out of last year. We all were saying it. And who
and
knows?
Take Cena. I mean, if you have those two on top, now you're set, you know?
Yeah, what a difference. And I have to believe that, you know, whether or not contractually or whatever, medically related, schedule related, I have a feeling that If Ronda could have been on the WrestleMania card, I'm sure she would have been thrilled. She's a big wrestling fan, and I know that WWE would have killed to have had her there, because that would be the one appearance I think that we would be talking about here on this show that might kind of really bring in that casual sports fan, that, you know, definite once a year type, who. And people would be talking about this show, whereas, oh, yeah, WrestleMania. I think they would know, oh, my God, yeah, Ronda Rousey's going to be on that thing. Whereas as the card as it stands now, I think only, like, true wrestling fans know, oh, yeah, Shane and The Undertaker. So that's kind of – that's an opportunity lost or whatever. I can't fault the WWE in that regard. It's just – it's the way things worked out.
I mean, and the good news for them – is that she's probably, I mean, she's so young, and I think she's in the heyday of her UFC stuff. Like, I think she'll be done soon. She's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. It's going to happen. I mean, she's such a diehard fan. She's young. She's still going to be a star out there in the sports and entertainment world, even when she's done fighting. I don't think she has more. I mean, unless she wins the title back in her first fight and lasts a bit longer, it wouldn't shock me if she's done in the next maybe 2 years fighting for you.
Oh, sure.
She's going to have all the money she needs. Why does she need to keep doing it? She can do a million other things. So.
Exactly. Let her go make movies. Let her wrestle. Let her just have fun. Do whatever she wants to do instead of getting beaten up for real. That sucks.
All right. So let me. I just want to throw one question out for everyone. And then, Kev, I think we can touch on NXT and the Hall of Fame a bit. What is your one – we'll start with you, Ben. What is your one bold prediction that happens on the card? You can make it believable. You don't have to go too crazy, but something that could, you know, be in the realm of possibility of happening, but is, you know, would be a bit of a surprise.
At the end of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Vince McMahon is raising Titus O'Neil's hand to the heavens.
See, now that's a good one. I like that one. How about you, Scott?
That Rock and does something directly to help Kev, you have a problem with your cat again? Drop the Oreos?
You're a cat. What are you talking about?
Drop the Oreo? I don't know. I heard a bang. I thought maybe the cat jumped on your head.
My son came in and said goodnight and closed the door. move on with it.
I like this feud. I like this feud that's brewing here.
Yeah.
I think the Rock will somehow get involved in the Reigns Triple H thing, like he throws a rock bottom on Triple H or something nonsensical. I don't think it should happen because the last time, and we were there live, JR, the last time Rock tried to piggyback Reigns, he got booed instead of Reigns getting cheered. So I don't know if that'll be the case or not.
Face.
Yeah. What? But I have a feeling he'll probably directly get involved in that match somehow. That's where his role will be. He may get involved in some backstage nonsense with a, you know, Duggan Steamboat and that whole cavalcade of legends, but I more think he's going to help Reigns win.
All right, mine's going to be about Cena. I mean, I think Cena gets involved somehow in that cell. Dan, how about you?
I think Sasha Banks comes out to Snoop Dogg, basically. Keep it in the family, and she has a big night, wins the title, and, you know, she becomes the face of the division.
Kev?
That's the least bold prediction you could make, Dan.
Yeah. That's probably like 90% going to happen. Especially if Snoop goes in the Hall of Fame like they're saying.
I said this a few weeks ago. I see Shane McMahon, Mick Foley style, off the top of the cell. Oh, my God, he's dead. They've broken him in half. They carry him out. John Cena comes out to finish the match. It winds up being John Cena and The Undertaker.
We're having fun, Maggle.
It'll
Shane
be
McMahon's
a,
dead.
Shane McMahon will take some stupid bump.
Right in the beginning?
Be deemed not to be able to continue. Cena will take his place, and that will be the match. And it will be just fine. And everybody will get their WrestleMania jollies, their moment, and it will be Cena in the match with Taker. So... what I think.
One last Mania question to anyone who wants to answer it. Is there any chance Triple H leaves as world champion?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Ben?
I don't think there's any chance he leaves as world champion. I think even the alternate scenario, the craziest thing that could happen in that match is Reigns turns heel and wins the title. I think he wins the title one way or another.
There you go. Hey, Ben, with a few minutes left here, give me some quick thoughts about NXT. Obviously Nakamura, but where do you think NXT fits in kind of on this weekend in terms of fandom, in terms of what fans can expect?
I think this is going to be another big coming out party for NXT, just like SummerSlam was. I mean, not only do you have Nakamura debuting, which is absolutely huge, but you have Samoa Joe, who is a guy who's worked hard. He's going to be back in the main event challenging for their title. You have a lot of guys debuting. You have a lot of interesting stuff going on with NXT. I think it's going to be a nice showcase. I think you're going to have probably Bayley against Asuka, American Alpha going for the tag team titles. It's a chance for all the most popular acts to really step up and be seen by maybe the casual audience who didn't already see him at SummerSlam. So I think NXT is going to be a huge part of WrestleMania weekend.
Finn Balor, is he a part of NXT still? Where is he?
Well, he's defending against Joe at TakeOver. So he'll at the very least be a part of one more show. And as far as does he make an appearance on the main card, who knows?
That's kind of where I was getting to. Is he done after this, and does he move up to the main roster?
Well, we've seen, too, that guys can double dip. I mean, Owens did it, too. So it doesn't have to be 100% done.
I mean, getting back to an earlier question, it's funny you mentioned in this match, Ben, one of the things, like you said, possibility things could happen. I could see Joe losing Friday night at TakeOver, which he probably will because he doesn't need the NXT title, and then showing up Sunday and winning the Andre Battle Royal.
Hmm. Well, see, Joe doesn't – I mean, I get your point that he doesn't need it. But
I think he'll be the gatekeeper for a little while down there.
We need a transitional champion.
I mean, he could, sure.
NXT. NXT doesn't need to keep going from, like, torchbearer to torchbearer. You know what I mean? They could use a quick transitional champion where Joe puts over whoever is the next big guy.
Sure,
you know?
That's true. Yep.
Whether it's Nakamura or even Corbin for, like, a quick run, and then he drops it to someone. So, I mean...
Apollo Crews.
Right. So Joe could play that role. What do you guys think of, you know, we talk about bold predictions. I mean, the other one that's out there is Shane wins with help from... You know, the Balor Club, because that's been the big rumor. Those will be his guys coming in. You know, do we get an Anderson? Because they were supposed to maybe be on Raw a couple weeks ago. Remember, that got nixed. Anderson, Gallows, and Finn, do they show up and, you know, turn on Triple H and the Authority and back up Shane? Are they his guys? Are they his new guns and he features them exclusively on Raw?
I don't think enough people are going to – they're not going to think enough casual fans know who they are.
I think if there's ever a show, though. Yeah, but if there's ever a show in a weekend to do it, that's the one to get them over. Because they'll be super over the next night on Raw, too.
I agree with you. I don't know. I just – I can't put money on it.
Yeah, I can't either. I think they'll wait till the next night.
I don't see them it could. It would make sense. I just don't see them doing that with anything having to do with the family. Not yet, anyway. I think you got to earn the trust before you become part of the family. So that'll be very interesting to see. Ben, do we need to let you go?
I'm afraid I need to drop out, guys, but I look forward to hearing the rest of this discussion when I tune in as a faithful listener of the Kevin Kelly Show.
Well, it's all going to go downhill from here, and we're just going to simply just turn our attention and our hatred towards Scott. So be ready for that.
I encourage you to turn it towards Dan instead. See you later, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Bye, Benji.
There goes Ben Morris, everybody. Make sure you read every Marvel comic there is. Watch all their movies, every product that there is, Marvel, and just think about Ben Morris. And where can we hear Ben here on the PTBN? Help me out again.
He frequents Main Event, Scott's Roundtable Show. That's here every couple of weeks. He leads the monthly Rewind series as well here, so that you were part of, Kev, before.
Well, I can't be a part of Rewind anymore because I wasn't there.
Well, no, he does the ones where we pick random pay-per-views that we watch. Remember we did that for WrestleMania 13? We watched
that was fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, there you go.
I watched the sweatiest Clash of Champions ever the other night, the one from Fort Bragg, Guts and Glory, where they it was
80 times. They were in that, like, tin shack. Oh,
Jesus. And it was just everyone was melting to death. And even by the end, you know, Steamboat Funk Main Event, a lot of people left. They were like, it can't take the heat anymore. There were a lot of empty seats in the gym that night. But I think if we look for where's the money with Nakamura here, what do you guys think? Is this a quick stay in NXT? Does he move on to the main roster quickly? How long do you put Nakamura in that NXT mix?
I mean, he's making a ton of money, so it depends if they want to pay him to stay there. You know, it's interesting, too, because you can't have him lose his first night. So does he beat Sami Zayn the night before Sami Zayn goes into Mania? And, you know, Scott, go back to your point earlier that you think Zayn wins the IC title. I think they don't. I don't think he does. I think they're going to build Zayn in that kind of Tommy Dreamer mold where he's always coming up short, coming up short, coming up short, and then eventually wins. Like, I think this is page one of his story. I don't see him being the type of guy that wins the title in his first night. I think it's more likely that Owens pins him, and then you build a big single showdown down the road between the two of them. But that said, it's tough to see him losing night after night. Do they do something like a time limit draw? Do they do something like that, like to keep both guys kind of strong? So, I mean, I think Nakamura is up by SummerSlam, that'd be my guess.
Okay, I think that's fair. Dan, what do you think? Do you love Nakamura? Do you hate Nakamura? Why do you have no opinion on this? Come on.
No, I do enjoy Nakamura, and I do think that the fans there were just the eruption. I mean, he just appeared for like maybe 30 seconds on a screen at NXT, and the place erupted. I mean, it's funny to think, oh, well, you know, they don't know what they have with this guy, or, you know, the common fan doesn't know who this person is. And maybe you can argue that the NXT fans aren't the common fan. But my gosh, I mean, for a guy that, you know, might not necessarily be a household name in America just yet, I mean, that place was just unglued for just that quick appearance on screen. So now you pair him with Sami Zayn, and you just know that that match is going to be incredible. You just know that you'd hate to be the guys that are coming on after them. You know, Sami's on his way up, and I agree with you guys. I don't think Nakamura is for very long. I mean, what else do you do with them, really? I mean, barring something horrible like an injury, like what happened to Atami last year, I think he's, you know, going to be fast-tracked, much in the same way that that Kevin Owens was.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, the debate we had a couple months ago, and that is, what is NXT? Is it a true touring, drawing brand, or is it really meant to just prep guys for the next stage? Like, what do they want it to be? Because Nakamura's ready. But do they want him to be a name down in NXT? Does he only need a month to get the rust off, get the style under grabs, and then move on? You know, so what's the long game with NXT basically at this point? And that to me is the key to where they put Nakamura.
I think they definitely have him at least do some touring. because they got to sell tickets and they got to continue to make that brand sort of a destination in and of itself. But obviously the long-term play is him for to be on the main roster, sooner rather than later. And you have with the card, with the whole night, with NXT, you've also got, throughout the weekend, the Hall of Fame. Is there one induction this year that you guys are looking forward to more than any other?
I mean, it's a pretty good class. Like the Freebirds, you've waited a while for them to finally go in. They'll probably have the most fun speech. I'm going to nominate Godfather for the guy that no one cares about heading in, but ends up having a really fun moment. Like there's always that one guy that you're kind of like, you know, I don't care about him, and then ends up having a really fun speech. I think that could be him. You know, it was cool to see Boss Man go in. Now they're padding things out with Jacqueline, Stan Hansen. Rumors are that they were going to have Regis go in, but something happened, and now it's going to maybe be Snoop Dogg. So, you know, pointing to Dan's thing earlier where maybe Snoop plays Sasha out or sings her out because he'll be there for the Hall of Fame anyway. So I would say the Freebirds, but I'll let you guys answer that and then also ask you, what do you think of Sting as the headliner? Is he a fitting headliner when you look at the classes?
I definitely say the Freebirds. There's any doubt. I've been looking forward to it for a while. I know I'm looking forward to the Bad Street USA t-shirts coming back out. It's been a long time. And I think Stan Hansen will have an interesting speech because, you know, he's, you know, historically an utter nut job. So I'm curious if he'll be off the rails like the Bushwhackers were last year, which I think is, JR, what you're kind of comparing with The Godfather. Like, no one expected the Bushwhackers to be anything, and they were actually incredibly entertaining.
Right, they're
last
like the
year.
Most fun. That and Larry Zbysko hiding in the fucking bushes or whatever for an hour and a half.
Yeah. As for Sting, I don't think there's any doubt he's a main eventer, particularly if Flair inducts him, because those two are so indelibly linked, like Flair and Steamboat are. I don't think there's any question that Sting deserves to be the headliner in this group. Freebirds are probably number two, and then I guess for this audience, The Godfather's probably three.
Yeah, I think with Sting, he's deserving of the headline role. I mean, he's every bit. He was WCW's Bret Hart. You know, he carried the brand for years and years. He was again, when he debuted at WWE last year at Mania, it was a huge moment. It's sad that his career came to an abrupt end because of injury, but, I think his legacy and everything he stood for, you know, that was it's great that he at least got his one WrestleMania moment and was able to do that, and fitting spot for him to be this year, headlining this year's Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, I echo that. I think Sting is a worthy headliner. He's much bigger than Kevin Nash was last year in the same exact position, much more notable historically, in my opinion. I disagree with some who say that he got steamrolled in his only WrestleMania appearance. I think he showed himself nicely for an older guy. He just, you know, he was put in against Triple H, and there was a lot of extra stuff going on. But I thought it was still a fun thing that you could rewatch over and over again. As for the rest of the class, I'm curious to see, unless you guys have heard otherwise, like who's going to speak on behalf of the Big Boss Man. Certainly it'd be great if someone like Slick came back, or One Man Gang, or somebody like that, or Akeem, or what have you. But, you know, I'm curious to see what they do. It's kind of tricky when it comes to, you know, inductees who are no longer with us. But I think Jacqueline is fitting. Everybody says great things about Jacqueline, about how she was great in the locker room and trained up divas and, you know, was tough, but, you know, and firm, but got the inexperienced up to
firm
speed.
Firm indeed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it'll probably go overlooked because there'll be a lot of, like, you know, drunk fans probably talking over her during her speech.
Oh, I forgot about that. Now I'm dreading the Hall of Fame. It's the worst part of that show is all the idiots in the crowd just ruining everything.
I think Jackie's speech is going to be very short and sweet. I don't think she's going to linger on. Yeah. She's not a wordsmith.
And then Godfather will be fun because, you know, at some point a bunch of scantily clad women, you know, will be coming out on stage.
Yes.
You know, and the whole train will be in full force. So I think it'll be a fun night, and we'll see what happens. from there. But I don't think there are some Hall of Fames that there's a little bit of a dead spot. I don't know where the dead spot might be on this one, to be honest.
Boss Man. No, sorry. That was awful.
Oh. And here's a second question. Will there
have to have Big Show induct the Boss Man, right?
He could drag his casket out.
This is where he drags Boss Man's casket out and gets revenge. This is where it all comes full circle.
One more thing. Are they going to do a Warrior Award?
Yes. I can't remember who now. I saw it rumored for someone. I don't remember who.
Kevin Dunn. It'll have
if it's a retirement, fine. Give him the award.
He's going to get a gold. Go watch. A computer took your place, daddy.
No, did someone... who was it? I don't know. Oh, fuck. I think it was someone that was sick that's gotten better like in the entertainment world. I can't remember who it was now.
Was that Joan London?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right, because they did the whole thing when they used to do the guest hosts with... she was on once, right? She was on a Raw.
Yeah.
I think it was during one of the Susan G. Komen months.
Right.
Or as Hogan called her, Susan G. Coleman.
What is the over-under on sappy self-promotion, put ourselves over because we're so great, because we support women's issues and cancer research and blah, blah, blah? How much of that crapola are we going to have to sit through at WrestleMania?
Oh, whatever. I mean, it's any company.
When, though? In what, like, reference? Like,
so it'll be in between matches, and then we'll have a 4.5-minute package about, we did this, and we've talked to kids, and we've, blah, blah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, like WrestleMania week, like, be a bully or not be a...
Yeah, be a bully.
Triple H leads the be a bully movement. Yes.
Yes. You know, now WWE is trying to cure cancer. They're committing this money to cancer.
It's 29. They did like the Hurricane Sandy thing to open. Remember that big package on that?
All of that public relations crap just very. I don't know. I hate it.
Well, Connor's cure, I guess, is now paired up with the V Foundation. That was something that came down within the last few weeks as well. So it'll probably be that, if anything.
I hope no one listens to this show because I'm really bitter and angry about all of this stuff tonight. And I'll probably like listen back to this episode, and go, damn, I was really like a meanie.
Yeah.
But I find a lot of that stuff to be just ugh. What does that mean? Is that a shot?
Is that some kind of like the Blue Meanie and you wear Daisy Dukes?
It just went Blue Meanie. Why are you so touchy? Did you have your Oreos tonight?
No. Completely jobbed out the Oreo thing. All right. So WrestleMania next year, Orlando. Where is WrestleMania going to be in 3 to 5 years? Do they ever think of going back overseas? Will there be a return to the Northeast, back out California? What do you think? Where do you see the landscape?
I think there'll be a pay-per-view overseas at some point. I don't think Mania because it's too big. It's too big, like from American economy kind of point of view. Like these cities all bid for it. I just can't see them wanting to do it in the middle of the day, or the middle of the night over there, however they want to do it. I just think the time lag, they can get away with it for a show, a network special, whatever. I can't see them doing it for WrestleMania, the big cash cow. Philly's rumored, of course, always in the rumor. Minneapolis is another one that's, heavily rumored, of course.
Vancouver.
This one. Yeah, Vancouver's always in the mix, too. I mean, I don't know. I can't see them rushing back to the West Coast because I feel like they got mad about the time stuff.
I agree. That's what I think is going to hurt. Maybe when the new LA football stadium is built, that might be the time that they would return. But I think last year,
is it going to have a roof? The Rams' new building? Because the problem was, how late can they start it? I mean, they had Taker's match with Bray, like literally second to last, and it was still light out. So
yeah, they kept waiting and waiting and pushing back his entrance to try and fit it in. So I don't know. I feel like they may get a little burnt with that. It wouldn't shock me if they're like three more at least before the West Coast.
What do you think Vince said with the whole Sun situation last year, JR?
Get that Sun the fuck out of my sky. I'll jump up there and move it myself.
What are you doing my voices now? Get the fuck out of here.
That's the highlight of every WrestleMania preview.
Speaking of sun, you need the sun, you pasty prick. Stuff you like an Oreo. All right.
I could see him going back to Phoenix. I think they liked University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale.
What about
I think
Seattle?
They
liked.
See, I thought that one was really underrated from sight lines, from the view, from the perspective of the audience at home. I love the look of that stadium.
I do, too.
I thought that was so cool, and I could definitely see them doing Phoenix again.
Is it big enough, though, Safeco?
They'd have to go to Quest, or whatever the hell it's called now.
Well, that doesn't have a roof, and, I mean,
And the rain possibility is but Kev, was the roof was up for Mania, right, at Safeco?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't remember. So that might be a problem. Because...
Well, let me look up what the attendance was on that one. I feel like it's maybe they're out, kind of outworked it now. You know,
it's like 50. I bet you it was something like 57, maybe 58, something like that. I think they'll definitely go back to Phoenix because that visually, because that was on the stream the other day, WrestleMania 26, and visually that place looked great. The card was relatively forgettable, except for obviously Taker Shawn. But they may want to go back there. I could see them going, any new buildings? They're definitely going to do one in Minneapolis because, the Super Bowl is going to go there soon. You know, Vince likes to follow that.
54,000 in Safeco they drew. So I think they're over that now. They're past that as far as numbers, what they want. I think 54 would feel low to them at this point.
Exactly. What will be, and speaking of attendance, predictions on the announced number of attendees at this year's WrestleMania. Dan McGinn. We ask you first.
Whether it's true or not, I say they're going to say 96 to 98,000 people there anyway. I mean, maybe they want to just say 100. If they're going to lie, they might as well say 100,000 just so they can say it. But it'll definitely be higher than the 93 from WrestleMania 3.
I think that's the question. Will it break the all-time reported record of 93,000?
Well, here's the most recent. We had 76 last year. We had 75 the year before. We had 80 in MetLife. You had 78 in Miami. 71 in Georgia. 72 in Phoenix. 72 in Houston. 74 in Orlando. And 80 in Detroit. And the one before that was in Chicago, 17,000. So, I mean, since 23, we haven't dipped below... 70-ish. So to me, that eliminates like a Safeco and stuff like that. And I think that, the highest we've seen lately is 80-ish. So I think they want to go higher than that. I don't know if they killed a Mystique of 3 unless it's legit. And I think it could be. I mean, there are a lot of tickets on StubHub, but those count as sold, right? So I know Ticketmaster has some left. I think it's all kind of crappy stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think they come in somewhere in the 90s. If they don't, it depends if they want to kill off the three Mystique or not. So if they don't, I say they come in just under it, 91, 92. If they're ready to blow it out and say this is the greatest of all time, then yeah, they probably go 97, 98.
Scott?
Well, because they, I hope they never do that. I don't, kayfabe or not, I love 93,173. But because they can get away with going over 100,000, because conceivably the place, even with floor seats, could fit, I don't know what it was, 112 or whatever the hell it is. They may, like JR said, they may, for kayfabe reasons or whatever, push it to 102,000 or 103,000. I don't think they'll go the full bore because if you see it from if they do a wide shot, you're going to tell that it's not totally full. So they can't say like 111,000. They won't be able to get away with that. So if they really want to do, if they want to keep the mystique of the Silverdome, they'll say, like JR said, 91 or 91 and a half. If they want to blow this sucker out and say this is the greatest ever, then I could see them pushing maybe 103. But I wouldn't go. I don't think they'll go any higher than that if they can't get away with showing a wide shot and there's a pockets of, I don't say empty seats, but it definitely doesn't look like.
I think they're going to be there, even if the number is legit. I think there's going to be non-believers, skeptics who would say, "Ah, that's bullshit. They're all just But again, I think it could, I think it could top the 93, especially. I don't think they would downplay it. Put it this way. If they've got 95,872 tickets sold, I think that's going to be the number. That's what they will announce. Otherwise, I think it'll stay south of 93. All right, let's do some picks. Okay. Real quick, let's start with Scott, who wins, Roman Reigns, Triple H?
Reigns.
Oh, through gritted teeth, he said that one. JR?
Reigns.
Dan?
Roman Reigns.
I will also agree with Roman Reigns. Okay. Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose, no holds barred. Falls count anywhere, last man standing, whatever it's called.
I'll go Brock.
Dan? Brock. Oh. Okay, Brock, and?
Brock. I want to say Ambrose, but I can't. I just can't see it.
He doesn't have to win.
No way no. Brock loses.
No, he doesn't
okay.
have to win.
Ambrose wins by taking a shit kicking and passing out or something. They'll give the Austin Brett treatment where he just gets the crap kicked out of him and he just can't continue. So he earns the respect that way. And maybe we even get like a handshake after or something.
Justin Rosero, who wins? Shane McMahon or The Undertaker?
The hardest pick on the board. I'm going to say Shane, even though it's so hard to say that Taker's only going to have two losses in Mania. One of them is Shane McMahon. The one thing, we talked about all the different possibilities. The one thing we didn't talk about, does Taker end up laying down? Does he beat the shit out of Shane to prove a point and then lay down to throw the finger at Vince for putting him in the spot and to fuck him? And then put Shane on his body and takes the loss. Because then you can explain the loss,
Yeah, what we want to know is win and loss. I think how they go about it is certainly where all the money is. But will
Shane is the winner.
Dan McGinn, what say you?
Shane, I question why Undertaker would be involved with his legacy for some storyline that he might not even be a part of, with Shane being in charge of Raw. With that said, I think Shane will probably end up winning because they're probably going to take Raw in a different direction.
Well, and that's why I think they could do the Taker laying down thing, because it perseveres his legacy and he can say, well, he didn't really lose to Shane. He took the loss for the good of the company. You know what I mean? Like, then he's the ultimate company man. He took the loss on behalf of the fans, because he's a guy that cares more about the company than himself. Like, that's how they could position the loss if he lays down for Shane.
Scott Criscola, what say you?
Shane wins. And I like that theory. I don't know if they'll do it. It's one of those things that looks nice, but I just think Shane wins out with interference.
I think The Undertaker wins, and somehow they wind up doing it anyway. Whether it's a rematch on Raw on Monday, Shane versus...
That'd be awful.
Hey, listen, who cares? Whatever they want to do, it's more important that they preserve The Undertaker.
Nah, he already lost. If he was undefeated, this would be the most like anticlimactic match, because no way his streak is ending by Shane McMahon. So
exactly.
It's a good thing that he's lost already. Now
they already did it once, and they're never going to do it again. Give me another match on the card. Jericho and AJ Styles.
AJ.
Everybody says AJ. I am going to... I will also say AJ Styles. Kevin Owens, we got predictions earlier on. Multi-man intercontinental title.
Owens retains, I say.
You go with Owens or the Fiend?
Owens. Because the Fiend is trash and Sammy's not ready.
Scott, earlier on, you picked the Fiend.
I still pick the Fiend. I have a feeling maybe I'll half agree with JR. Maybe Sammy's not ready. But I think, like I said, I think they're going to groom Owens to win Lunchbox in the Bank. So I'll
see the BIC champion win that and then lose the title.
Owens opens up the briefcase and there's a sandwich in there.
I traded the contract.
I see the Fiend.
How about Dan McGinn? What say you?
If they were smart about just connecting the story from NXT to the story up at the main roster, then it'd be great if Sami Zayn could get his redemption here and win the IC belt. The more we talk about it, the more I think that it's going to be Owens retaining, and then eventually he'll lose the title to Sami Zayn when Owens is ready for something bigger.
Yeah, and when they can tell the story. I think they want to retell the story, and it's too rushed right now to do that. That's my thought. That's why I don't think Zayn wins.
I go with the Fiend in this one. I don't think Owens keeps the title. Triple threat Divas title. Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Sasha. Who walks in? Who is the champion now? Is it Charlotte?
Yeah, she's been it for a while. I mean, she has to lose here. I mean, the money's on Sasha. The heart's kind of with Becky because she got hosed and she's kind of the dark horse, so she sneak out the belt. But I think it's Sasha's night. I think they want to elevate her to the be the queen of the division. I think it's, you know, it's been clearly booked that way. I think Dan's right. I think if Snoop's going to the Hall of Fame, I think there's no reason why he doesn't, you know, play Sasha out to the ring.
Scott, what do you think?
I'm going to go for the upset here. I think Becky wins. I think she pinned Charlotte. I don't think Sasha eats
Becky
a pin.
Fanboy.
I think Sasha Banks is your winner here. In the I Don't Care championship match, the United States title, Kalisto versus Ryback.
Ryback.
Yeah, this is going to be an ugly squash.
I agree. Dan?
Why? Just this because is... he changed his trunks? So
yeah. Yes.
He's going to get
the Goldberg trunks. Yep.
He's even a less talented Goldberg.
This is one where you don't have your girlfriend watch because it's going to get ugly.
I'm just going to pick Kalisto just so I can look smart if he does on our next show.
Stupid.
New Day versus the League of Nations.
New Day.
New Day.
New Day.
New Day. Usos Dudley Boys.
Who cares?
Who cares match of the night.
Take this match out of the WWE, and I think it's a great one. As it is in the WWE, limited time. They're going to get 6 minutes. It's a sprint to the finish. I think Dudley Boys up ugly.
I think it's a pre-show match. I think the Usos probably. If it's pre-show, Usos win. If it's on the show, probably Dudley. So I'll go that way.
I think the Usos win, and I think at the end, Bubba turns on D-Von and goes solo.
Oh, God, no. Please.
Bully Ray, baby. Not. I think Brooke's going to come back.
Oh, Jesus.
Aces and Aces.
Who is the well, listen, they've got Doc Gallows, so he could
he's
still got his Aces and Eights gear. Third annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Big Show, Kane, obvious participants in this with the Social Outcasts, and you've got to figure some other folks will be in there as well because a 6-man Battle Royal would suck. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I liked your Strowman idea. I'm going to go with him. I mean, if Bray's in there, it's hard to see Bray not winning only because he's a name. You know, I still think there's something maybe with Cesaro if he shows up, but I'll play it straight and go with Strowman. That's before we know the roster of it, though.
Yeah, it's not really fair. It's going to be filled out with a lot of ancillary guys. But Scott, do you think this is a Big Show win or a Strowman win or someone else?
I'm just thinking about this. I'm going to go an NXT route, and I think an NXT guy, somebody that strikes me because they've shown them more on the show and they had him on the Roadblock show. I think Cassidy wins, and Enzo seconds him, and I think that's their entrance to the main roster.
That would be different. Interesting. Dan?
I don't know. I mean, I'll go with what you guys were talking about before. Samoa Joe beats Finn Balor the day before, and Finn Balor comes back as the demon and wins the Battle Royal, and everybody goes crazy. And it's just kind of a dark.
We got our hopes up, just like a Tommy.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a spot you don't want to be in. Okay, injury return predictions. Yes or no from everybody?
We didn't pick the other Divas match.
Oh, I didn't know there was another Divas
Brie,
match.
Brie, Maddie, Paige, Alicia, Lana, Naomi, Tamina, Summer. I think Brie wins, and I think Brian's with her, and they would do the big yes thing to get the crowd going.
Are they the baby faces?
Yeah.
Baby faces win.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Brie's been taking a beating lately by Lana, so it's probably time for Brie to get her win back, I guess.
Baby faces up, it's Mania. All right, injured guys returning. Yes or no answers. John Cena.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Seth Rollins.
No.
No.
Randy Orton.
Yeah, no.
Cesaro.
Maybe leading up.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Because only because they leaked that he's going to be back right after Mania. So it's he could show up the next night. He might be a next night guy.
All right. How about legends/Hall of Famers appearing on the show? Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
And
no.
What? Of course it depends. It's in Texas. Triple H is wrestling. Yeah, he'll definitely be on the show.
Like a simple backstage thing?
Anything. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Like, he just shows up. He tells a couple jokes, and it's over. You forget it ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be there.
Okay. Yep.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah.
That's even more obvious than Sean.
Okay, Hulk Hogan.
It's no. Killing me for the first time. I'll say no. I said yes all along, but
I know
the lawsuit timing. I don't think he'll risk anything until like that's the appeal's done, everything's done. I don't think he'll put right. himself in a position to possibly screw anything up. So
I agree with that.
I was a yes for a long time, and I do think he'll be back at some point. Especially now, I feel like everyone's on his side again in this lawsuit. So like everyone's forgotten the other stuff. So I think it's likely he'll be back, but I think it's too close with what's going on. It's too much money for him to risk.
McGinn, quickly, yes or no?
No, not this time.
Not this time. How about members of the Mean Street Posse? Dan McGinn.
Yes, of course. I'll have a sweater vest on to cheer them on when they come out.
Okay.
Yes.
Scott?
Sorry.
Yes. Rodney and Pete Gass, not Joey Abs.
I say no, yes. I say yes, Kevin, because he dropped a morsel for us. He said he had dinner with Tommy Dreamer, and that was right around the time. What was the whole thing, Dan? I think was it Willie that told us Dreamer was Doozy training or something, or he's doing something that's related to like the match. Oh, he's training Shane. I think he's helping Shane train.
Yeah, Dreamer trained him.
Right. Was it you and I that talked about it? Whatever. There's a morsel. Pete Gass dropped the morsel in that thing, and we overlooked it at the time. He was having dinner with, I think it was Steve Willie. He was having dinner with Tommy Dreamer.
How about, okay, there was another name that I had in my head, and it's escaped. It has left me. I can't remember it now. Okay.
Yes, I think, he's showing up. That guy that you're thinking of showing up. That's my pick.
By the way, I knew who it was. Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be in the women's match.
Okay.
Yes.
And JR, one prediction from you. Will Scott be pleasuring himself during the Triple H match?
Oh,
no, because he'll finish during the entrance.
Okay, got it.
You're ridiculous.
By the way, they're really pushing the Shane. They're breaking up the Gracies, talking about his MMA training, everything else. So they're really trying to show him as legitimate.
Of course. Look at the soup bones. He's going to whip... Undertaker is going to whip Shane McMahon's ass. I can't wait. No, it's going to be awesome. All right. That's it, right? We've covered everything, haven't we?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it. So, hey, Scott, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Kev. Always is.
That was awesome.
We got to get you on main event one night.
No.
Don't do it.
But thank you. And, all right. Dan, thank you.
Lower your value.
Oh, you're welcome.
JR,
mine or his?
All of you. You're all lowering each other's value right now.
I want to thank all you guys. And this was great. A lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And let's see if all of our predictions come true, because we'll look like geniuses or a bunch of schmucks. Mm-hmm. But we'll all watch the show. We'll all have fun. I'll be there in Dallas for the Friday and Saturday part of WrestleMania weekend festivities with Ring of Honor. That's going to be a lot of fun. Super Card of Honor on Friday and on Saturday afternoon. Then, of course, you got your Hall of Fame. You've got your NXT. You've got, and then, of course, the big show. AT&T Stadium will be jam-packed, no doubt about it. All right, so that does it for this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a guest. We're also lining up a special interview with a friend of mine from Japan to talk about his book.
Great Buddha.
No, not Great Buddha. Mm. This will be Chris Charlton. We just have to figure out his schedule and yours and ours. No, Chris
Fred?
Charlton. Chris Fred Charlton. Cattell? Jesus Christ. His name is Chris Charlton, and he wrote a book called Lion's Pride, The Lion's Pride, The History of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's awesome. So we'll
be here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Okay, we'll go with that. Inoki will be on the show along with Chris Charlton. Sorry that Mrs. Baba Inoki could not appear, but here to talk about his book is Chris Charlton. that would be so great.
You're on Mrs. Baba's wheelhouse, Kev. You got the look. You better tell Mrs. Kelly.
That's Johnny Ace, man. Listen, long before it was the Bellas, Hubba Hubba, it was Mrs. Baba. All right, that's enough.
We'll see
I'm done.
You, Mrs. Baba.
All right, thank you guys very much. Thanks to everybody for listening. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Vince, give us some final thoughts on WrestleMania before we leave.
Woo, woo, woo. Here's to you, Mrs. Giant Baba.
All right, thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks on the Kevin Kelly Show, Place to Be Nation, our website home, placetobenation.com.
Put it in the cupboard with your cupcakes. Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
But by the way, speaking of food and Bush,
I think Chris Jericho is who Michael Hayes would like to be.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox.
Then people would be more inclined to buy the network and watch the shows.
I'd buy the network for a happy ending.
I do not know where Steve Austin is. He saw the gun. He saw the gun and he left. Oh my God, he's...
I would never have thought Rolling Stone. I mean, unless I killed somebody, I don't know.
All right, here we go. I got to piss. Be right back.
Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get fucked hurt.
Bye.
Most of all, you got to hide it from the kids. Could you, Mrs. Robinson, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to a candidate's debate. Laugh about it, shout about it, when you got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns to lonely eyes to you. Woo, woo, woo. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson?